Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and this is another edition of Family Talk. This program is going to have an historic character to it for reasons that our listeners are going to understand. My son Ryan is here today, and he's going to talk to our listeners about his personal story. With that background, go ahead and talk to our listeners.
I've been at Family Talk for just over 6 years now, since its inception, since the very, very beginning. This story goes a little bit further back than that. I've been in Colorado now just over 10 years, and I've been married for just over 10 years. For me, that's significant because I met Laura, my wife, who's this tiny little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl from Southern California, grew up on the ocean. You know, when she was six, her dad bought a sailboat and packed up mom, dad, dog, three brothers, and Laura, and they sailed for 2.5 years on this tiny little sailboat. Great adventures. And when I met Laura, I was living in San Clemente, which is the southern tip of Orange County, California, the northern tip of San Diego County. I could see the ocean from my front door. I mean, for me, at the time, it was paradise. I go to the beach anytime I wanted. I could see it all the time. I relate to it. I met Laura. She's this ocean-going girl, and this was going to be our life.
And she also felt the same way about the ocean.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. We both dreamed of being in ministry and having babies and being near the beach and doing those things. Well, we got married on June 12th, 2005.
Married on the sand.
On the sand in Newport Beach. We walked under a tunnel of surfboards. The little thing we stood under on the beach was made of driftwood. The cross above it was made out of shells. I mean, honestly, we couldn't have been much more beach-going. My 90-plus-year-old grandma shouted out in the middle of the service, "Ryan's not wearing shoes!" because I had sandals on, flip-flops, with my suit. And I think Laura probably was barefoot at the time in her wedding dress. A month following our marriage, we both flew into Southern Colorado here in Colorado Springs so I could do a conference with you.
Yes.
And I tell you, the second the plane landed, I just felt the Lord say, "Hey, you should think about moving here." And I said, "No way. No way, no way. There's winter here every year, like a real winter where it snows and people live there on purpose knowing it's going to snow. You know, I don't like the seasons. I'm not a big, I mean, the leaves changing color are beautiful. I just don't need to live there in order to see it. I love Southern California. I like the food and all the things about it.
But you like skiing.
Yeah. It's just, for me, it can't compare to the ocean. And honestly, the Lord and I battled that for quite some time. I just didn't want to move. And I started talking to Laura about it, and she thought I was crazy. You know, the truth is, I met my wife on a blind date. We got engaged 3 weeks later and married 5 months after that. On our wedding day, we hadn't known each other 6 months yet. So we were taking a big leap as is. And then lo and behold, you know, a month after we get married, I'm saying, what if we leave the ocean and move to landlocked Colorado? And neither of us wanted to do it. I joke and say there are skid marks from my heels dragging the entire way here. Laura and I made a deal with the Lord. You know how that goes. We'd give it 6 months. If we hated it, we'll just go back and get another apartment. So we moved out here.
You know, you have to be really careful what you tell the Lord you're going to do and not do.
Exactly. Hey, Lord, I'm just going to let you know this. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, of course. That's a ridiculous thing to do. And at the time in California, I was doing really well. The year before I met Laura, I had done over 120 speaking events. It was my primary source of income. I spoke all over the country. In fact, I spoke around the world at that time. I was doing fine. And we moved to Colorado, and I'm telling you, the world dropped out from under me. The speaking events stopped coming. I was barely hanging on, paying the bills. And in fact, there were many times where we weren't paying our bills. I started selling things. You know, here I am, not just newly married, but I don't even know Laura that well, honestly. I mean, we got married quick. There was no scandal. We just knew it was the right thing to do. We were right for each other. And I absolutely stand by that today. But when she met me, I made a lot of money. And it helped not having to worry about paying bills. And I'm telling you, a year later, we're living in Colorado where we don't really know anybody that well. I mean, the day after we moved, I left on a speaking trip. And there was this massive windstorm. We lived in a house that was built in 1949, and the house moaned when it would blow. It would go, woo, 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 woo. Laura called me in tears that the house was yelling at her. A tree blew down. I mean, honestly, the two of us were like, what have we gotten ourselves into? This is craziness. This is insanity. We moved to this strange place. But
the Lord told you to.
He did. He didn't say, oh, this is the funny thing when you follow the Lord. He says, I think you ought to move here. And you go, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you say, and then you're going to bless me, right? And then everything's going to go well. And we moved to this place, and it didn't go well. In fact, it went really bad. I couldn't find work. I'm selling things, and I'm saying, Lord, what's going on? I mean, this is ridiculous. I moved here. You told me to move here. And the Lord says, hey, I didn't say what was going to happen when you moved there. I just told you to move. And I was struggling. I really was. I was speaking where I could. It wasn't coming like it had in the past. I mean, for years, I couldn't say yes to enough things. I mean, it was just, I got calls every single day for speaking. And then I moved here and it kind of dried up. Didn't really know what I was doing. I'd been podcasting for a while. I started on the podcast craze early on, almost 10 years ago, before the advent of iTunes. The iPod had just been introduced. And I had my own podcast, and that was doing well. And a good friend of mine and yours, Sean Hewlin, who has worked at Family Talk, he worked at Focus on the Family, did work at National Day of Prayer. He's been a part of a bunch of startups. He's worked with Family Life. Just a genius. Sean said, I think you ought to be on a station. I think you ought to be on live radio. I think you're good. I think you should do this. I know somebody that owns a station. I got a meeting with you. Come with me. And I'm thinking, what? You know, I'm doing this podcast by myself. I'm producing my own shows, editing my own shows, uploading my own shows, running my own website. I'm doing this all, you know, by the seat of my pants. And Sean gets me with this guy, Michael Tomlinson, up at Castle Rock Radio.
He's now COO here.
He is. That's right. He is COO here. And we're meeting with him, and he's talking about what the station has to offer and how many programs they have and how many average listeners they have in a day and all these things. And all I'm thinking is, man, I'm having trouble paying my bills. How much is this going to cost me? And is it going to bring anything back? Sean talked him into putting me on the radio for free. He puts me on for free for 6 months, and we hit like gangbusters. And I finally found something I was great at. We grew by leaps and bounds, and within a couple of years, I was heard in all 50 states and 113 countries with between 50 and 100,000 daily listeners to a live broadcast. And right about that time, 6 years ago, you left Focus on the Family, and I was on vacation, and you called and said you're going to start a new broadcast. And I called Sean, who was on vacation, and said, my dad's starting a new ministry. Do you want to help him out? And he said, yeah. And I said, I think we should do all the things that he shouldn't have to. We can form a mailing list and a website and a Twitter account and a Facebook page. Sean said, that's a good idea. Let's do that. And so from both of our vacation spots, we started working for Family Talk. And 6 years ago, December 31st, you put your first newsletter out. We had our first mailing list. And I've been at Family Talk ever since. I went from a co-host to vice president. And have had a ball. I have really, really enjoyed it. Previous to this, though, I worked for me by myself for almost 11 years. So going from working for yourself for 11 years to being in an office, and this is a great office, but all offices have office politics and things like that that go on. That, for me, was the hardest part of the job. Just getting along with other people. And it sounds silly. I know some people think it's crazy, but it was difficult for me at times. I thought this organization would be where I ended my career. I thought I would do this forever. But the Lord has been speaking to me for quite some time now. And I've discussed it with my wife, Laura, at length. And I've been talking to you about it for a few months. And I have been meeting with the board frequently about it. And the purpose of this broadcast is to say that while my story isn't done, this chapter is. And I've turned my resignation in. Hey, man, it's so bittersweet. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited to go back on the road again. I'm excited to take my family on the road with me. I'm excited to bring my kids out on speaking events and mission trips and to see what it is that I used to do full time. But man, I am going to miss this place. Working with you every day is one of my bucket list items. It's something I'll never forget.
Do you mind if I take a minute to cry? This is going to be very, very hard for Shirley and me.
Yeah.
And I think for you too, Ryan, because I've loved working with you.
Yeah.
And just being in the studio together, we think alike. We have the same values.
I
can take one look at you and you know you're supposed to jump in and get involved.
Yeah.
And that
is
amazing.
Going to go.
But you know what, Ryan, I support it.
Yeah.
In a strange kind of way, I know deep down inside me that the Lord is speaking to me too.
Yeah.
And it is time. You know it when it's time.
I know.
But that does not make it easy.
It doesn't make it easy. Laura and I have the greatest counselors. You know them, Dad, Tim and Ann Evans.
They're good
and
too.
They're just the best. They've written a book called Together. And it's about marriage and about co-leadership in marriage. And on the cover is a stoplight, and it's one of their illustrations. And it's when you're making decisions with your wife, you both have to have a green light. If someone's got a red light or even a yellow light, you can't move forward because you're just ignoring the other person's feelings and thoughts and opinions. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to have a marriage where it's the two shall become one, that's what you've got to do. And you know, at different points over the last 10 years, I've had a green light and Laura hasn't, or Laura's had a green light and I haven't. But I've had a yellow light for a little while, and I've been talking with Laura about it, and she supports me like mom supports you. I mean, we I love her so much. And we realized a little while ago that we both have a green light. And I have to be honest, it's terrifying. It just is. I was in the shower the other day and I was laughing and Laura came in and she goes, "What's so funny?" And I said, "It's nervous laughter. It's like I'm getting ready to jump off a cliff into a lake and I'm looking down thinking it's probably going to be okay, but you just never know."
And you don't fully know where you're going when you leave here. I mean, it's not, you've got ideas, but it was kind of like the same thing when you were in Southern California.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to go back on the road. I'm going to speak because that's what I enjoy doing. I do lots of fundraisers for pregnancy resource centers and crisis pregnancy centers.
And I want to say that if people hadn't heard Ryan Dobson speak, then they're in for a treat.
Because I appreciate that.
God really has given you a talent.
Well, I got trained by the best, you know. And I enjoy it. It's what I enjoy doing. So I'm going to do that. I've got some ideas. I'm meeting with some people, some businessmen about other ideas. But the truth is, you're right. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. And it's scary, but I also know this is the right move. Yeah. Laura and I have a green light. You and mom do. It's bittersweet. It's sad. You know, I haven't broken down completely yet, but I've been on the verge for a few weeks. I just, I'm going to miss this place. My assistant Anna and Segovia, our director, and Richie and Brian and media, and Mark and Virginia, the engineers, Tammy, our producer.
Great people here.
I mean, I could go on and on. We've got the greatest office, and you and I get along. It's not like we're fighting and that's why I'm leaving. I'm not leaving angry. That's even worse. It would be easier if I was leaving angry. I'd be like, forget this place, you know? But I love Family Talk, and I know the Lord is blessing it. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Let me tell you how I feel about it, Ryan. And we haven't rehearsed this, so let me just tell you from my heart. The relationship between father and son is a precious one.
Yeah.
If it is right, it is wonderful. And I had that relationship with my father.
Yeah.
And when I started Focus on the Family on March the 27th, 1977, if you can believe it's been that long, I leaned on my dad a lot to help me because he had such wisdom and he was such a godly man. And as I made my decisions, the last conversation I had with my dad was I had an opportunity to do television programs or radio. And I was talking to him on the phone and I said, Dad, I've got to make this decision because I can go both ways. And I said, I would like you to pray about this. Mm-hmm. He said, I will, Jim. And you can bet he did.
I was going to say, you know, if he said he was going to pray about something, it wasn't just offhanded. He wasn't going to just kind of throw one up to the Lord. He was really going to get down on his knees.
4 days later, I was also on the phone with him, and I had kind of forgotten about asking him this question. And we came to the end of the phone call. He said, oh, by the way, I want to tell you something. And I said, what? He said, I've been praying about the question that you asked, and it's radio. Hmm. I really believe the Lord is leading you to radio. Television absorbs every energy. I mean, yeah. It takes all the resources you've got, money, time, strength, everything. But radio, I'm made for radio. I love it. And so that was my last conversation. That'll tell you what kind of relationship I had with my dad. Yeah. And I started Focus on the Family, and it got off the ground, and it was growing. And there were a lot of questions like that that came up that I needed to answer. 6 months later, he was eating at a family birthday party after church on Sunday, and he leaned over into my mother and was gone. Yeah. He fell on the floor, and he was in heaven, and he never took another breath. And for many, many years, I have asked, Lord, I needed him at that time. Why did you take him?
Yeah.
And the Lord doesn't answer those kind of why questions. He
not very often.
He will someday, but he doesn't do that. And he didn't answer them for me. And then some years ago, a minister was in my office, and he was talking to me about an understanding of the relationship between men and their fathers. And he said, have you thought about the fact that Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, mm-hmm. died young? I said, how do you know? He said, well, when he was on the cross, he was 33 years old, and he looked down at his disciples and said, behold your mother. He didn't say anything about his father, never mentioned his earthly father again. So God took Joseph, apparently, very early and before the incredibly challenging ministry God had in mind for him. He came to earth to die for our sins, yeah. and he had no earthly father to help him with it. And why? I think because the Lord transferred his relationship with his earthly father, Joseph, to his heavenly father. Mm. And all the way through his ministry from there on, he talked about God the Father. And I don't fully understand the
this
meaning of that.
This better not be
that.
Foreshadowing.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. None of us does, but but I believe that it's time for you to make your decisions and go your own way without my standing there. Mm-hmm. Not that we won't continue relationship.
And of course.
We will spend time together and we will talk together. But I want you to take that opportunity to go deeper with mm-hmm. the Lord and let your Heavenly Father guide you in these next few years.
One of the guys in our fulfillment department, David Wilson, asked yesterday what people can pray for me about. And if our listeners want to, it's the answer I gave yesterday is the one that I would give today. I just want to make sure I stay on the path the Lord provides for me.
Yeah.
You know, he's a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. I just want that one. There's so many things out there I could do. There's lots of good things I could do. But what I want is exactly what the Lord wants for me. And I don't have the answer to that right this minute. You know, I'm waiting for that light to shine on the path to tell me what my next steps are.
You know, a light under your path means one step at a time.
That's right.
It does not mean you have a headlight that says a block down, you're going to turn right.
Yeah.
You have to look at your feet and take a careful step that he guides. And if you're paying attention, he will do that.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing now. I'm just paying attention. You know, it's scarier this way. It's always easier to move to a job you have than one you don't have and then try to get it. But again, it's the right thing to do. The green light was there.
Well, the good news is that you're not going to take my two grandkids out of Colorado Springs.
Not right now, I'm not.
Now,
we may go on some extended
here.
Trips, but
let's
we're not moving
anywhere. Let's don't get carried
away. No, you know what? The truth is we do. I still don't like to be cold. It's 30 degrees outside right now. I have long underwear on. I was out with Lucy this morning. I had two pairs of long underwear and a pair of snow pants on.
You were about to take her to the zoo.
I was trying. It was ridiculous. You can't go to the zoo when it's 18 degrees, and it was this morning. I don't like the cold, but I do love Colorado. I do. I love Colorado. We are in the right place right now. I love our neighborhood. I love our neighbors. I love our Bible study. I love my church. Glenn Packiam is my pastor. He is amazing. He's a great pastor. You know, there are so many great things here, and this is where I'm going to be for a while. We'll still travel. We'll travel and speak, and we'll do events. We're looking at doing a mission trip in El Salvador this summer with kids around the world. I want to get my family into that. You know, the truth is, Lucy started swim lessons this week, and I got to go.
She's 4 years old.
She's four. Fearless. Fearless. That coach turned her head just to the side, and Lucy jumped in without looking. You know, she can't swim. She's four. So I got to go, though. And I was sitting there watching her swim in the middle of the day, and I remembered this is what it was like when Lincoln was a baby. I wasn't here yet at Family Talk. And I went to all of his events. I went to his swim lessons. I did those things. It's hard to go on the road for your job because you have to be away from your family every now and then. But when I'm home, I get to be all there. And I've only got a tiny window left. I'm in a really unique position. The fact is, I don't have to be in an office every day. I can go on the road and speak. I can do other things that allows me to be with my family. And I just can't think of a better thing to do while they're still at home than spend as much time with them as I can.
Ryan, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, my website and everything else that I do on social media is James Ryan Dobson. It's my full name. So jamesryandobson.com on Twitter, on Instagram. It's James Ryan Dobson. On YouTube, it's James Ryan Dobson. I'm still making videos. I'm probably going to start podcasting again, interviewing people. So yeah, if you look up James Ryan Dobson, you're probably going to find me.
Okay, if I'm a pastor or a youth leader, or I head up a pregnancy resource center, you would be available to come. You have an agent?
I do. I have an agent. Just go to my website, jamesryandobson.com. You can contact me there.
Man, I'm going to miss you here.
I know.
Right? Now,
well, I
we
live
need
just
to
up
mention,
the street, so I'm still going to be here. My kids were very concerned they wouldn't get to come see Jim Pot work or get candy from Anna and Deanne.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll be around for sure.
Let's make it clear that my co-host will continue to be Dr. Meg Meeker.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And she is going to be here in
She's
studio
the
most times.
Yeah.
Sometimes she will do the program alone. Sometimes she and I will do it together. Sometimes I'll do the program alone.
Sure, just like it was before.
So we have the flexibility to do whatever seems appropriate. I love you, Ryan.
I love you too, Dad.
You cannot know. From the day you came into my world, you know, you're adopted and you joined us on the same day that my book, Dare to Discipline, arrived. The very same day.
Yeah.
And both of those things turned my boat over for a while.
I bet.
But I have loved being your dad, and I'm going to continue as long as the Lord lets me live.
Yeah.
And God be with you.
I appreciate it.
And give our love to Laura. I will do it.
I will
be with you tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So this is not a goodbye.
It's not.
This is a change of assignment that we believe came from the Lord.
Yeah, it is. So for my final time, if you'd like more information about our guest, you can go to our website, drjamesdobson.org. You can go to mine, jamesryandobson.com. And finally, this is Ryan Dobson saying, God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Imagine a world where huge numbers of older Americans, and some younger ones too, will submit themselves to killing clinics, supposedly for the benefit of those they love. They become heroes.
that disturbing thought becomes very real in Dr. James Dobson's brand new novel, Fatherless, but it's a scenario that co-author Kurt Bruner explains could become a catalyst for change.
As the world gets darker and darker, the family as God designed it becomes more and more brilliant as a shining light. That's part of what we hope will happen. People will read these novels and realize, yes, it's getting darker and darker, but I can love my spouse, can nurture my children, and realize that it's the creation of those bright spots that will over time dissipate the darkness that's rising.
Request your copy of Fatherless today at drjamesdobson.org. That's Fatherless at drjamesdobson.org.
Hi everyone, Dr. Meg Meeker here. Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.